Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 2, Verse 26. Aho me paramam kashtam, abhut avijitatmanah, yena viplavitam brahma, Vrishlayam Jayatatmana. Prabhuji. Paramam Kashtam. Ahom Vijitatmana. Yena Viplavitam Brahma. Vrishalyam Jayatatmana. Aho me paramam kashtam. Abhukta vijitatmana. Yena viplavitam brahma. Vrishalyam Jayatatmana. Mataji. Aho me paramam kashtam. Aho me paramam kashtam. Aho word by word translation, if you like to repeat. Aho, alas, me, my, paramam, extreme, kashtam, miserable condition, abhut, became, avijitatmanah, because my senses were uncontrolled. Yena, by which viplavitam, destroyed, brahma, all my brahmanical qualifications, vrishalyam, through ashudrani, a maid servant, jayata, being born, atmana, by me. Translation. Ajamila said, alas, being a servant of my senses, how degraded I became. I fell down from my position as a duly qualified brahmana and begot children in the womb of a prostitute. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The men of the higher classes, the brahmanas, kshatriyas and vaishyas, do not beget children in the wombs of lower class women. Therefore, the custom in Vedic society is to examine the horoscopes of a girl and boy being considered for marriage to see whether their combination is suitable. Jaya Shri Shiva Madhavishnu. Vedic astrology reveals whether one has been born in the Vipravarna, Kshatriya Varna, Vaishya Varna or Shudra Varna, according to the three qualities of material nature. This must be examined because a marriage between a boy of the Vipravarna and a girl of the Shudravarna is incompatible. Married life would be miserable for both husband and wife. Consequently, a boy should marry a girl of the same category. Of course, this is Traigunya, a material calculation according to the Vedas. But if the boy and girl are devotees, there need be no such considerations. A devotee is transcendental, and therefore, in a marriage between devotees, the boy and girl form a very happy combination. Translation, if you like to repeat after me. Ajamila said, "Alas, being a servant of my senses, how degraded I became. I fell down from my position as a duly qualified Brahmana and begot children in the womb of a prostitute." Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Vatale Shrimati Jaya Pataka Swamiti Namini Namo Acharya Padaya Nitaya Papradayani Gaurakata Dhammadaya Nagara Gramatarini Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Vatale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatra Desha Tarini. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about astrology. And in our society, this topic is quite controversial. Because there are some devotees who say that this is very important because we are not pure devotees. And there are devotees who say, no, Srila Prabhupada very clearly said, as in this particular purport, that for devotees this is not required. There is a quote of Srila Prabhupada in a conversation when Sujit asks Srila Prabhupada, "See Prabhupada, astrology is a science, but it is not an exact science like mathematics and chemistry." And Srila Prabhupada replies, no, it is mathematics. Astrology is simply based on mathematics. Exactly. It is a great science. People do not know it now." Prabhupada continues, "But because it is a difficult science, people do not understand it properly. That is another thing." So we can see from different conversations, letters, and in fact in Srimad Bhagavatam itself, that Srila Prabhupada strongly respects and supports that Vedic astrology is actually a science. At the same time, Srila Prabhupada did discourage devotees from taking shelter in astrology. Mainly because of this point, he says, it is a difficult science, people do not understand it. Today my biggest challenge is that I can talk for hours on this topic. Because this is a particular service that I do to the devotees in the community. But I have very little time, about 20 minutes. So I'm going to cover three main points today. First point I would like to share with you is why we cannot rely on astrology. What is the problem? Second point I would like to share is what is the right attitude, or what is the alternative, if we cannot depend on astrology, for devotees to choose or to be prepared to get into the Grihastha ashram. And the third point I would like to bring up is this point of Srila Prabhupada, the conclusion that Srila Prabhupada makes. A devotee is transcendental. That particular phrase, what does it mean to be transcendental? So these are the three points that I will touch upon. And we can see in this particular verse, Ajamil is probably quite compatible with this prostitute because they lived together for many long years. They had many children together. And the main point with Ajamila and the prostitute was why it was actually not compatible. Because he could not remember Krishna. He forgot Krishna. So for a devotee means we always should remember Krishna. So that was the main problem. So nowadays, why astrology cannot help us as devotees, or actually even as karmis, is that first mistake in my observation and what is going on in the world, astrologers do not analyze the individual's chart. They make compatibility between a girl and a boy and they say 30%, 70%, right? That's our experience. But they do not actually check individually what is the character of the girl, what is the character of the boy. What are the priorities? What is the, like Prabhupada is talking about the Trigunya here. What is even the nature of the girl or the boy. These things are not compared. I could give you an analogy to quickly help you capture what I'm trying to say. Take an example of a passport-sized picture of a boy, a passport-sized picture of a girl. So somebody is trying to match. So you see the girl, she's beautiful, young, attractive. You take the boy's picture, he's handsome, strong, young man. Okay? You take the two pictures and you say, compatible. The problem is, one of this person in this picture may not have legs. You only see the picture, the face of this person, and you say it's compatible. But if the person doesn't have legs, I mean, good luck. So this is the situation of today's compatibility. Most astrologers don't know what they are doing. They have no idea about it. One thing is that to be called a heart surgeon, you have to go through the examinations, you have to do your MBBS, and then you have to do your MB and MD, and you have to specialize. And at one point you get certified after years of studies that you are a heart surgeon. But to become an astrologer, there is no such process. So anybody can call themselves an astrologer. And we are in the hands of a very inexperienced heart surgeon, or even worse than a heart surgeon, because they're trying to take our life's decision in their hands. So, not only that they do not check, analyze the individual's chart, but they do not even see what is important. Because today's verse is about astrology, I would like to tell you very important element in compatibility. There are these kutas. Kutas means divisions. There are different divisions. Some people say the 10 divisions are most important. Some say 8 is enough. So there are different kutas. So one of the kutas is about mutual understanding. Another kuta is sexual compatibility. Another kuta is about magnetism. Okay? So among these divisions, there are two types. One are the kutas or the divisions which do not end up in total points. And the second type of divisions or kutas is something that will end up in the total points. So when an astrologer tells you 70% compatibility, it does not cover the first type, which does not cover or does not calculate into the total points. The first type of kutas, just to give you an idea, Raju, Veda, Stri Dirga, Rashi Kuta. Raju basically means rope, means the insurmountable obstacles that can come between the karmic link between the two people. Veda. Veda means obstruction. Stri Dirga means longevity or the satisfaction for the woman. Two different meanings are there. The Rashi Kuta, the basic psychological compatibility. So these are the four divisions which most of the astrologers skip or do not calculate, and they only give you the points. So the problem with the points is that if there is no proper foundation, whatever the building stands on, even if it may be 90%, the building is going to collapse. So this is another major problem, that astrologers do not consider the main foundational kutas, and they only give you the numbers. Then the third major problem with astrology is most astrologers do not follow the calculation propounded by Srimad Bhagavatam. Most, I mean including most devotee astrologers. They only take into consideration a system that has been practiced for many years. Something that was relevant 500, 700 years ago as a calculation, it's not the same today. They have not updated their calculation. Srimad Bhagavatam propounds that the planetary movements, the Rashis or the signs are based on the tropical calculation, whereas most Vedic astrologers use sidereal rashis or sidereal sign system, which is a big problem, because when the Vedic astrologer makes your chart, he may be making a chart for somebody else. It may not be your chart actually. So this is another important point that astrologers miss, and they do not even know that they are not using the proper system. So with all these considerations, we are in wrong hands oftentimes. There is one more element, regardless of the system that you use or the proper trained astrologer you go to or not. The important element is perspective. In an astrological chart, there is not only the element or the fact that, okay, you are going to get a husband who is a good character person, or he's going to be a brahmana, or he's going to be rich, or a wife who's going to be beautiful and will serve you and will be submissive. This is not the only point. It is not limited only to this perspective. But how are you going to feel with it? Like, I can give you another analogy. If you're given with a meal to eat, you're hungry. So I give you chapatis, sabji, rice, dal, some rasgulla. But maybe you're disappointed because you were expecting a pizza. Okay? So this can be compared to, you may have a good karma to have a good spouse, but your expectation may not be what you're getting. So many astrologers do not tell this to people. They just say compatible, not compatible. But there is much more than that. There is the Navamsha Kuta, which means the ninth division of a chart. There are different divisions we make in a chart. There's a natal chart, and then there's a Navamsha chart. So in the Navamsha chart, there is more explained about what is the lesson for that particular person in married life. Because the person may not find that satisfaction, even if they get the best wife or best husband. So what I want to bring, boil down this point about why we cannot rely on astrology, is that if we can cultivate the attitude of gratitude, if we can actually count our blessings even before we get married, be grateful for the education we have, for the parents that we have, for coming into Krishna consciousness, towards our devotee friends. If we practice this gratitude, we can find that perspective of trying to be happy and satisfied in married life as well. Otherwise, like millions of Indians, I have seen, I was doing a research on this project for premarital counseling, and I was traveling in Maharashtra, in Andhra Pradesh, in Tamil Nadu, in Karnataka, and I found that many husbands, they have very good wives, they cook for them, they clean, they take care of the children, they're beautiful, but the husband is dissatisfied because she's dark skinned. And they express this openly. Or wives who have good husbands, who pay their bills, work hard, take care of the family, but the wife is dissatisfied because her husband does not earn enough. So such attitudes, it's like digging their own grave for misery, because already material life is full of miseries. But then without the element of gratitude, they become even more miserable. So astrology, regardless of great compatibility one might have, you find the best, everything. If we do not realize that ultimately we have to actually move together as companions towards Krishna and not try to increase our material expectations with each other, even the best of the compatibility is useless. Like in a kitchen, you know, we all like to have good kitchens. So imagine you have the best kitchen. Granite stones and perfect shelves and very nice steel containers, everything marked with ingredients, fresh vegetables and organic flour and rice, the best of the pots, the best of the spoons, plates, whatnot. I mean, you name it, the best of the kitchen you have. That is compared to best compatibility. But still, you may burn what you cook, right? Best kitchen does not guarantee you that you will prepare best food. Okay, let's say you did not burn, like, you know, Ajamil burnt. He had a very Brahminical wife. He burnt it, he threw it all away. So, let's say, you don't burn it, but you prepare nice lasagna, perfect lasagna, nice plate. You're about to bring it out from the kitchen to the offering room, and it falls down and splash, everything destroyed, right? So the point is not to focus on these material designations. Oh, I have to find the perfect varna compatibility, then my Krishna consciousness will be happy. Okay, then I'm going to move to the next point about, okay, let's say we don't want to depend on astrology. What do I do? Astrology is not the magic I thought it is, which most people do think. It's not the magic thing that will solve all our problems. Then what is marriage? Srila Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, text 5, he explains how marriage is meant to give peace of mind, stability, the sense of duty. Okay, this is my wife, this is my husband. So you're not all around the place and disturbed. It does not say that marriage is going to bring you an ocean of ecstasy when you find that man, when you find that woman. It's going to be an explosion of ecstatic bliss. That is not what marriage is all about. I'd like to share a little quote. It's a little verse that I learned from South India. It's a Madhva Acharya who actually made this song, Madhva saint, Purandaradasa, who made this song. And he very nicely captures this aspect of how our desire for marriage is bringing us in this cycle of birth and death with the same problems again and again. Asha klesha dosha vimba abdi yolu mulugi yamana pasha kolagaga de nirdoshiyagu santoshiyagu. So the essence of this is, we all want to be happy. We're looking for that happiness. And how do we try to get it? Asha klesha dosha. By desire. We think that if my desire is fulfilled, I will be happy. But this saint is saying it's the opposite, my dear. If you stop desiring, that's when you become happy. The more you desire, the more you get entangled. The more you become yamana pasha kolagagi. You'll basically become subject to the judgment of Yamaraj. You will not be anymore the dasa, vishesha, the special servant of the Supreme Lord. So please get out of that entanglement. Because we know one thing after another. I want the security. I want the beauty. I know he doesn't have hair, so I don't want to marry him. His nose is too long. He's 1 year younger. I mean, I heard all these different reasons. And I think I could put all of them together in this category of Asha Dosha Klesha Vemba Abdi Yolu Mulugi. It's like Mulugi means drown. We are drowning ourselves, even our own desires, and making our life miserable. Dai Shishina Shimge Bhavanaki. So what should we do? We should train ourselves. Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayon Mulanam. So Srimad Bhagavatam, by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, by studying the philosophy, we can distinguish reality from illusion. All our illusions, I want it this way, I want it that way. Instead of being grateful, we keep on lamenting, we keep on hankering. Then, that is That is the problem. The hankering is the problem. I was thinking that we don't need astrology alone to actually see whether the other person is of the same nature. There is a Grihastha Vision team in North America. There are a group of devotees who are training couples to think intelligently, to distinguish this illusion from reality, and to make decisions based on Krishna conscious priorities. Because in Krishna consciousness, when we talk about compatibility, I was mentioning earlier, there is mutual understanding, there is sexual compatibility. You know, sexual compatibility in the material world is a big thing. But when we talk about devotees, it's actually, for devotees, sex is not very sexy, because it is meant for procreation. The compatibility aspect does not matter much, because we go to Krishna, we chant 64 rounds, and we say, please, my dear Krishna, please send us a good soul. I mean, no, in that sense, it's not very sexy. So it does not matter as much. So we should be careful that some astrologer may say, you don't know how to have sexual compatibility, and then you start worrying and thinking. That's actually meant for Shudras who do not actually have a higher purpose in life. Devotee couples can actually focus on the higher taste. They can find pleasure in the service that they do. So I was talking about the GVT. So the GVT, Grihastha Vision Team, they have these 108 questions that you answer before marriage. So, you know, you don't blindly jump into marriage. I am in love with this Prabhu, you know, he looks like such a pure devotee. Or this Mataji looks like a perfect angel. I remember this quote. This is for the men. They say, if you really want to marry an angel, you have to first create heaven. Of course, even for the Matajis, if we want a sadhu Prabhu, then we have to also decrease our materialistic desires. Okay, so we can take such tests, we can use our intelligence and listen to the other devotees, consult them, not secretly fall in love and then say, no, Krishna, you know, Krishna wanted this to happen. May not be very transcendental, we'll get to that a little later. One more element I just want to bring, especially for the ladies here. Sometimes we may see our friends, they're getting married, they're having children, we're still not married. Krishna is not sending that perfect person, perfect one, because he's the perfect one to us. Then we become agitated. We see Facebook posts of our friends with their partners, romantic pictures. You open the Facebook page and then you see them smiling, lying down on the bed of flowers with their partner, and you think they found that ocean of bliss and I have not found it yet. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Shri Sakirana Shri. Is it really that ocean of bliss that you think it is? I mean, how long is it going to last? Deha Patya Kalatradishu Atma Sanniveshu Asatswapi Tesham Nidanam Pramatesha Pramatta Nidanam Pashyan Apina Pashyati. Srimad Bhagavatam very nicely describes this. Deha Patya Kalatradishu. This attachment to this body. Oh my husband, oh my wife, oh my children. This attachment. Those who have this attachment and they do not have this self-realization, they are not thinking of what's the goal of my life. Because you know, it can happen, you see a Facebook picture and then for that particular day you're off. So that's this verse. Atma Sannivesha Asatswapi. So this self-realization, if it is not there, Tesham Pramatta Nidanam Pashyan Apina Pashyati. So these people cannot see the truth, although they have gone through this lifetime after lifetime. How many romantic encounters, how many marriages we have gone through. But we are unable to see that this is temporary. This is not the point. These are the fallible soldiers who are going to die, who are going to get sick. So marriage is not something, oh, I will be protected by the strong arms of my husband. Or that sweet glance of my wife will make me happy. This is this verse, Deha Patya Kalatradishu. It is not the purpose. Like I was mentioning about gratitude, sometimes we have to simplify our expectations. Then it's easier to find that happiness we're looking for in Krishna consciousness. Okay, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj used to say this point. If a man is thinking, I'm feeling incomplete and that woman will make me complete. And the man is thinking, oh, I am, no, I said the same thing. And the woman is thinking, I'm feeling incomplete and that man I'm waiting for is going to make me complete. When the two incompletes come together, it's a bigger incomplete. It's a disaster. It's not that we think, you know, okay, my marriage, it's, I'm going to get the pleasure. Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Sambrama Sevya Mano. The person is going to serve me. That's only Krishna. That is not the purpose of marriage. So men should focus on spiritually becoming stronger so they can be a good guidance to their family members. And women should develop self-respect, should develop determination, not to become completely dependent and think, oh, I will hold the dhoti of my husband and I will go back to Godhead, but rather make more effort personally to go back to Godhead. That's what being transcendental means. What does it mean? Does it mean Srila Prabhupada is talking about the Paramahamsas, the Siddha Purushas in this verse when he says a devotee is transcendental? Does it mean it's for the devotees in the stage of bhava? No. I mean, according to my understanding, he's talking about normal sadhakas. Devotees who are strict in practicing Krishna consciousness, who sincerely want to advance. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a verse which describes what it means to be transcendental for a devotee. Yatpada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya karmashayam gratitam udkratayanti shanta tadvanna riktamatayo yayato pirutta shroto ganastam arnam bhajavasudevam. So this is what means transcendental. To be engaged in serving the toes of the lotus feet of Sri Sri Madhava, of Vasudeva. Then what happens? Udghratayanti shanta. Karmashayam, the karma, all these, how do you call it? The waves of sense gratification, this entangled desires will immediately be destroyed. Karmashayam gratitam, the hard knotted material desires will get released. How? By being always engaged in devotional service. Because even the jnanis and the karmis and the yogis, they are unable to actually control these waves of desires. By being engaged in devotional service, we can overcome that. That's how we can reach transcendence, gradually. And ultimately, no one but Krishna can change our karma, right? It's not the perfect marriage that is actually going to destroy our sins. It's going to require another marriage, never ending, lifetime after lifetime. So, Krishna says, Sarva dharmam parityaja mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami masucha. He is the best astrologer. Listen to him. Don't listen to the other astrologers. The best astrological book is the Bhagavad Gita. It tells you why you are in this situation, what you have to do to get out of this situation, what is going to be your future. If you think in a particular way where it will lead you, that's the best astrological book. Better to rely on that. And the point about, but it is Vedic. Actually, anything that is based on material designations, even the varnas, is ultimately going to give us misery. So ultimately we have to transcend these points, these designations. So, to conclude this, I would like to emphasize, I am not against astrology, but as Srila Prabhupada says, it is a difficult science. People do not understand it properly. Astrology is not Bhagavad Gita as it is. We cannot put our faith on that. And we have to work on ourselves personally, become a better person, become a better future wife, so you can actually make your marriage work. Become a man who can actually see to the needs of the wife and help her spiritually advance. And if we focus on devotional service and request Krishna, pray to Krishna, thank Him for what we are given with right now, and ask Him to give us the strength to pull it through this particular karma we have got. Because even the best of the astrologers can only tell you the scoreboard. This is your score. It does not help you to play better game by reading the score. And we may confuse Krishna. One time we say, please Krishna take over, you know, please control everything in my life. Another time we run to astrologers, so Krishna may become confused. Do you want me to control it or you want to go your own way? So we have to work on ourselves. And if anybody is interested more about this point about astrology, how astrology can be misused, how astrologers sometimes can be very dangerous, and what did Srila Prabhupada say about astrology? I actually wrote a book called How to Mess Up Your Life with Astrology. So if you're interested, Mataji here, Geeta Govinda Mataji has some books there. If you're interested to know more, there are some copies with her. So I would like to humbly ask you for some questions or comments, and I end the class here. Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes, Prabhuji. Mic, please. The mic is not working. Okay, I will repeat your question. Please go ahead, Prabhu. Okay, did everybody hear Prabhu's question or you want me to repeat it? Okay. He says, in the class I mentioned about sexual compatibility, how in general for devotees it is not a concern, but his observation is that there are many divorces in ISKCON due to this particular reason, and you would like to hear more about it, basically, right? Thank you. Okay, I will like to repeat what I mentioned in the class about sexual compatibility. I mean, for a devotee who wants to follow regulatory principles, has taken initiation, sex is for procreation. I mean, that's the understanding. That's the philosophy, right? Somebody wants to be a strict sadhaka, they do it for having children. So therefore, having sexual compatibility or not, why I said it is for Shudras is because Shudras can only relate on the gross bodily platform to make that connection. Whereas for the other Varnas, the connection between the couples can be made on an intellectual level, can be made on a mental level, emotional level. The last one is the physical level. Okay? So in that sense, it is not like, I have to, give me a second. Hunger for food is something that is a need, okay? But hunger for sexual desire, that is greed. Okay? So it's not something you're going to die without. And that's what I meant, that it's not the end of the world. But again, I don't know, divorce is just because of not having sexual compatibility. I don't know, I can't comment on that. Maybe there are many other reasons, because I'll tell you something that may be very interesting. As an astrologer, I have seen many compatibilities among devotees, Srila Prabhupada disciples. They had children together. They had 100% compatibility, okay? 100% sexual compatibility as well. They divorced. I have seen compatibilities, 13% compatibility. 13, complete, utter failure. They have been living together 35 years. They have 3 children together. And it's a normal, peaceful life. And they are very strict sadhakas. They're focused on Krishna consciousness. So I think, yayatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. So according to our level of devotional service, our level of surrender to Krishna, He will make our life, He will interfere and keep us satisfied in that way. So, and I have seen compatibilities, 100% sexual compatibility, okay? The yoni kuta, it's called, 100%. 4 out of 4. 4 is the point that Unikuta gets. And maybe they do not have mutual understanding. Maybe they have completely different expectations. And I mean, it's a delicate point. But if you're not going to have a connection with the person emotionally, how are you going to have sex with them? You understand what I mean? You have to have a particular emotional, intellectual, or whatever level of connection that leads a person to physical intimacy. So that's not the only thing. They may have other issues of they're not mature enough and they do not actually communicate properly, etc. Okay, that's my observation. It's not only that. Or having sexual compatibility does not mean that couples will not have problems with sexual life. You know? And for a devotee, you go to Mangalarati, you chant your rounds, you're focusing on your devotional service, you're following regulative principles, you have sex for having child, Hare Krishna. You don't seem very satisfied with the answer. You're okay? Thank you, Prabhu. Any other question? Yes, Mataji. Okay, Mataji is asking, when we're making matches between devotees, am I suggesting that you do not do astrological matching? It's a good question. Thank you very much. Sometimes it can be maya to think that, I'm attached to this Prabhu, I'm attached to this Mataji, but they say there is no astrological compatibility, but it's fine, you know, because we are basing our decision on our passion. Maybe we are in love, so we don't want astrology to interfere with our desire. So we have to be careful. On what basis are you making the match? Because he's engineer, she's engineer, that's speculation, you know? Or is it because of some other material consideration? Or is it because really you ask questions to the girl, you ask questions to the boy, they filled up the form? There are other ways, that's what I would say. I wouldn't say there is no need of astrology. Depends what astrological system you are going to use. What astrologer are you consulting? Is that astrologer going to analyze both the girl and the boy's chart? Is the astrologer going to warn you about your expectation and your karma? You know, if that is complicated, keep it aside. Take to GVT training seminars, answer the 108 questions, both the boy and the girl, discuss the matter, see if they are compatible in natures. So the match has to be made on some logical reasoning and some kind of intelligent spiritual basis. Okay? So I would say, instead of going to the wrong astrologer, better you take to some other system. Because Prabhupada again said, it is a difficult science, people do not know it. There are a lot of fake astrologers. There are a lot of astrologers who use wrong system. Yes, I also mean devotees in ISKCON, most of them. You know what I mean? Does that answer your question? Thank you. One last question? Yes, Prabhu. So, if I understand your question correctly, you're asking what would be my suggestion for couples getting together, where, you know, earlier times the temple would make the matches, and today the trend has changed and there are online websites which actually help devotees find each other. So what would be my recommendation? That's your question, right? Okay. My first recommendation would be work on yourself well enough. Try to work on yourself to be complete, because there is a lot of fraud and a lot of confusion going on the matrimonial websites as well. Depends where you are. What are you under a counselor system? Do you have devotees supporting you, like family who can actually help you find a girl? Depends on your situation. Okay, I'm actually working on a project to help devotees become better individually, to become prepared to be a good husband, to be prepared to be a good wife. During Gaur Purnima, I will be giving some seminars, so you'll probably hear about it. That would be my main focus. And as an astrologer, what I would say is, Krishna will always respond according to your level of sincerity and your level of readiness. So the more prepared you become, he will send the partner at the right time. It's like a father. A child wants, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. But then when the father sees that the child is prepared now, then he buys the new bicycle or the new toy or whatever it is. Okay, so that would be my initial response. Please prepare yourself. In ISKCON, the marriages are not working, not really due to whatever reasons of superficial reasons, but the real reason is individually the devotees are not Krishna conscious enough, they're not reading Prabhupada's books enough, they're not really training their mind to mind control, they're not controlling their mind enough. These are the reasons I see they are responsible for divorce. So we can avoid that by being prepared. Okay? And I wish you all the best. Okay, Prabhu's question is very complex and we do not have enough time to get into it. But I would only say that Every case is different. Okay? Depends very much on your karma, on your motivation, on the type of parents you're involved with, the partner you're trying to get involved with. Because when two people come together, there's a lot of mixing of karma. So you cannot say A and B had result C, so we will also have the same. Okay? So every case has to be analyzed and studied deeply. Okay? Thank you very much for your attention. Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki.